Grace and peace are yours in abundance, in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for our message today is taken from the Gospel, the 8th chapter of Mark, where again we hear Jesus ask his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist." And others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets. And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." Dear friends, President Ulysses S. Grant was on his way to attend a dinner reception being offered in his honor. And it's important to know that this was before the days of Secret Service and security details, so he was walking by himself. And it started to rain, so he opened his umbrella and he came across a stranger who seemed to be going the same way as he was. So he offered to share his umbrella with the man. As they walked, they talked about this and that and eventually discovered they were both going to the same banquet. And it was then that the stranger confessed that he was only going out of a sense of curiosity. Lowering his voice, the man said, "Between us, I've always thought that President Grant was a much overrated man." To which the unrecognized president replied, "That's my view also." We enjoy talking about others, but we don't like to get caught, do we? But man, do we have opinions. Want to talk about presidents? Didn't think so. But how about your child's teacher? Or the auto mechanic? Or the coach? How about the next door neighbor? Or the person at the grocery store? Or the preacher in the pulpit. We have opinions, and in the right setting, we let those opinions fly. So if we're prepared to have an opinion about regular people around us, it would be surprising if we didn't have an opinion about Jesus. More than any other person, Jesus has changed the way the world thinks and the way that humanity lives. And I realize that even that statement is an opinion. And if we were online, and if this were the comments section, there would be people telling me how stupid I am to say something like that. How great it is to hear someone honoring Jesus that way. There would be comments made in sarcasm. Irreverent images would be posted along with affirmations of faith because everyone has an opinion about Jesus. Listen to some of the names that Scripture records Jesus was called during his short ministry. He was called the Lamb of God, the Carpenter's Son, Good Teacher, a Devil, a Deceiver, a Sinner, the Savior. He was called a Wine Drinker, Possessed by the Devil, a Blasphemer, a Rebel, and the Christ. That last one, the Christ, was what Peter said to him on the day Jesus asked, "Who do you say I am?" It's pretty intriguing to see Jesus checking in with his disciples this way, especially since they're near Caesarea Philippi, which we could describe politely as a party town. Against the backdrop of this small city where you could choose just about any false god imaginable, Jesus puts the question to his students, Who do you say I am? And Peter, who often had a way of fumbling the ball, actually gets this one right for the moment. What Peter meant by calling Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One of God, would become clear soon enough, and it sure didn't include a cross, which was a problem. But it didn't change the fact that what he said at this moment was right. Jesus was the Christ, the one to fulfill all prophecy. It's a question that just won't go away. Jesus asking, who do you say I am? What do you think about Jesus? There are a number of ways that a person could answer that question. There are two ways that are very simple. Either you are led to faith in Jesus as your Savior, or you reject Him. In Jesus' day, many of the priests who had a vested interest in the status quo rejected Him. Many of the political activists looking for a political deliverer also wanted nothing to do with Him. The Roman government, which by then had proclaimed its emperors to be living gods, wanted no competition from the Prince of Peace. And other religions, such as those who worshipped Diana in Ephesus, found their income and authority reduced by this Savior. And all of these that I've mentioned opposed Jesus for the reasons mentioned and probably many more. On the other hand, there were those who found their answers in the risen Savior. Jesus said that would happen. He said that He had come to seek and save the lost, to be the light for those who were wandering around blindly in darkness, to be a doctor for those whose souls were sick. Back then, just as today, faith in Jesus says that death does not have the last word. Faith in Jesus says there is forgiveness from all sin, and with that forgiveness, a new eternal life of joy in and with the Lord. If forgiveness and eternity were all Jesus gave to sick souls, it would be enough. No one could really ask for more. But there is more. Years ago, a grandfather was walking with his grandson. They had no special destination. They just were walking and talking. With a smile, Grandpa asked, "How far are we from home?" Boy answered, "Grandpa, I don't know." Grandpa asked, "Do you know where you are?" Boy said, "No." Grandpa observed, "It sounds to me then like you're lost." Little boy looked up, said, "Nope. Grandpa, I can't be lost. I'm with you." You can't be lost when you're with Jesus. In times of sadness, He brings hope. When friends have betrayed us, He's promised to stand by our side. When no one else will give us the time of day, He has promised to listen, to hear our prayer. Now, there's another way that people can see and talk about and respond to Jesus. And it begins with the thought people are not sinners. A lot of people buy that idea. It follows then, logically, that if you don't have sin, you don't need a Savior. As a result, people have concluded that Jesus is fine, but he's not a Savior and certainly not God in the flesh. Now, that's an answer with spiritual ramifications, to be sure, but it's also an answer that leads to a number of practical difficulties. In other words, because our culture has largely dumped the concept of sin, it's at a loss when it comes to dealing with the problems that sin creates. It can't diagnose the sickness. It can only try to treat the symptoms. Yet, at the same time, our culture cannot stop telling stories about kings who will come to put things right, heroes who will lay down their life for you sacrificially, chosen ones who will fight against the darkness for the rest of us. Our culture may want to let the idea of sin go, but it doesn't want to let these stories go. Why not? Because deep inside we all know we need to be rescued. We know we're not strong enough to get out on our own. That's why it is crucial for the Christian church to keep telling the story, the true story of Jesus, both to ourselves and to our culture. Walking through Lent in our approach to Holy Week brings this right back to the forefront. What you and I and all people need to experience is the story of this man, Jesus, willingly entering into the city of his Father, being unjustly tried and sentenced, mercilessly flogged and beaten, spit on, mocked, finally nailed to a cross, crucified like a criminal, and all the while praying for forgiveness to be extended to all humanity. Jesus dies this death to prevent you from dying this death. He walks into the executioner's chamber so that you don't have to. A Roman centurion who watched all of this happen came to the conclusion, this man really is the Son of God. So, who do you think Jesus is? We join our hearts in prayer. Holy Father, in your Son Jesus, we see who you are and what you are all about. You are our hero, our rescuer. And still the question is worth an answer. It demands an answer. Jesus asking, who do you say I am? It is a question that you desire your church to take to the world. And it's only in telling the gospel story that the world will have a chance to make an informed answer. To see that at the cross, you proved yourself to be the Savior of the world, the great warrior defeating death once and for all. And at your open tomb, seeing the risen Christ, we see the wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, fulfilling his mission. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we say, Jesus, that you are the Son of God, our Savior from sin, death, and Satan, the God that we love. In your most powerful name we pray. Amen.